Good morning. Today is Tuesday, Election Day, November the 8th. Yes. If you haven't, do. If you have, stay away. Just keeping it down. Keep the dust down. Keep the fervor down. Keep the passion down, man. Joining us this morning is Eureka Humboldt County Visitors Bureau Executive Director Tony Smithers.
Good morning, Brian.
Hey, all right. Got him in the right order this morning. Our quote this morning comes from... Oh, where did it go? Okay, there we go. Richard Bach. Quote, "The mark of your ignorance is the depth of your belief in injustice and tragedy. What the caterpillar calls the end of the world, the master calls a butterfly."
Well.
Yeah. A little something to consider tonight, huh?
Words to live by today, I'll tell you.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, and by the way, join us this evening from 8 to 10 o'clock. Rob Arkley and I will be here for a couple of hours. I'll be asking, he'll be commenting, I'll be prompting, he'll be answering. I'll be hitting commercial breaks, he'll be answering.
Okay.
About some of the trends and the lessons from today and the previous couple of weeks with the polling nationally as well as statewide and locally as well.
Well, I vote in favor of tourism.
Yeah, I would tend to think that pocketbook issues, and that's about as pocketbook as you can get, would get your attention, sir. How viable are the numbers? Yeah, I think a lot of times people focus on black and white and numbers, and there are other measurements as well. But how viable are numbers as a yardstick for visitors, for the local economy?
Well, first of all, it's a good thing that someone's looking at the numbers. I mean, because really, in the end, it's all you really have to go by to make, sometimes hard decisions. So we're probably in a good position in the tourism and hospitality industry because we can work with numbers that are pretty solid. We know what happens when people come to town. We know the money they spend. We know the economic impact. We know what investment is made to bring them here. And this data is collected pretty much nationwide, certainly statewide. So we have a pretty good idea of how we are stacking up against competitors and the state as a whole.
With the opening of the Willits Bypass last week, do you see that that's a window of opportunity? I know it's not a major time savings for folks in the northern part of the state to drive north to where we are, but it's certainly a huge perceptual one.
Sure. And exactly. What we trade on is perceptions. I mean, that's what marketing is about.
Now, that's not real numbers.
No, marketing...
Do you feel yourself being reeled in on this one just slightly? But I think they're just as important.
Certainly. And if people perceive that it's easier and easier to get up to Humboldt for a weekend getaway or what have you, then certainly that is all grist for the mill.
And we like to have our mills full of grist, right?
I guess so.
But it'll be interesting to see if the comments are any different, if the numbers are any different, if some of the weekend getaway numbers change significantly in the offseason. Just that one simple thing. KINS, News and Information Time. I guess that's an editorial, huh? It's 8:19. We'll be back with more from Tony.
You've never heard us before because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for someplace different to take the family, something special to do next weekend. The best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas, because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us. Destination Radio.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Tony Smithers. Tony, in the last break, we talked just briefly about perception and how that really does have a significant impact. And I think intrinsically and intuitively, we get that one. But when you consider some of the obstacles of getting folks to come here, I would think transportation, time spent in transportation, is a significant decision-making element.
Well,
for someone who's either a weekend or a week long or a day trip or any of that stuff.
No question. I mean, we are subject to what we call the drive market. Okay.
So would you hesitate to say we are driven by the drive market, or would you not say that?
I wouldn't say it to you.
Good. Okay.
Now, luckily, we actually have several tiers of markets, because not only do we have what we call the drive market, which is the pool of potential visitors who live within a convenient commuting distance to us, as it were. And what is that distance, you may ask?
Well, not even distance. I don't think
it's time. Sure,
it's time spent in the saddle. Yeah,
time in the saddle. And we've looked at this over the years, and it is in fact changed. I would say we have been beneficiaries of greater accommodation to a longer distance. Most people are. It used to be it was more than an hour or two. Forget it. Now it is. 3, 4, 5, hours is considered average,
Really? It's expanded that far?
Well, I mean, it's a matter of, their willingness for a particular, they're not going to drive that distance on a whim. But if you give them a reason to come to a place, to see the world's tallest trees, for example, and make it, enticing enough, that is not so much the obstacle anymore. Of course, it's all related to gas prices.
Well, yeah, okay, because that's an emotional, not a logical.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's say someone has come here 2 years ago, saw the trees. My question has always been, okay, the trees aren't moving, they're not growing that much, fine. What brings them back? You can't use the same message a second time because they're not going to want to do the same thing again. So if trees is the primary message, is it these trees are different than those trees? This trail is different than that trail? Southern Humboldt is warm. Northern Humboldt is moist. Different kind of forest experience.
Yeah.
Del Norte County is a little bit different again. I mean, how do you get them back if they're not the, oh, wow, gee, zealot of walking around in the woods?
Oh, well, you've basically just laid out the entire marketing conundrum that the North Coast has been dealing with for years, and to the extent that we are able to tap into this emotional response to what we have to offer, so it's not particularly come see a tree or a grove. It's the Humboldt experience as a whole, the nature plus small town Americana, that whole experience as an anodyne for hectic urban or suburban. Yeah.
So if we go 3 hours out, Redding obviously is avoiding heat. Got that one. Nailed it. Okay. But Santa Rosa. Now, Santa Rosa on a national scale is seen as a fairly large neighborhood. Okay. In a California scale, it's seen as that little place that's somewhere north of San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
Period. Okay. It's large enough, but it's still a small community. Does small getaway, nature, escape, does that play well in Sonoma County? Because they got it.
Right. Well, funny you should ask, but we...
I've not been set up on this, by the way.
Okay. For a number of years, I have exhibited in the spring at the Sonoma Home and Garden Show. Why? Because it's a pretty cheap show for us to do. And there aren't any other competing destinations there. So it's a chance for us to, shine. and talk.
You need to work your bugs out a little bit after not going for a couple of months.
And to talk to people in a prime market area. So we do have a sense, and we understand then better who our competitors are. So when we talk to people in Sonoma County, we hear a lot. Well, we go to Armstrong Redwoods, we go to Muir Woods. And so that drives home to us the fact that job one for us is positioning us, Humboldt County, as the place to see the redwoods, that in the hearts and minds of the world, not just of Sonoma County.
You mentioned Muir. It's funny. Our FCC attorney is out of Washington. His kids live in San Francisco. Peter's retiring. So I gave him my ration of normal stuff and invited him to come up. He said, well, we come up, we go to the Muir Woods. And I said, rank amateur imitation, that along those lines.
Muir Woods, yes.
Yeah. And the comment was, and good natured, but still the comment was, snob. And I thought, maybe that could be a key.
Sure.
The snob appeal, the real. Not just Redwoods, the real. And do the snob and play. It's funny how, to me, snob is not a negative. If you're a food snob, that just means you appreciate food. You're discerning.
Right. You're a foodie.
Yeah. Or water, or travel, or vacation, or whatever it is. You have a discerning standard that you measure something against. Not a bad thing at all.
No, indeed.
It's not the little pinky out. It's the real deal. And I thought, huh. So I played a little bit with Peter, and we'll see how that one comes back. But it was just kind of an intriguing juxtaposition. KINET. Boy, I'm ending all these segments on my comment. How cool is this? I got to get him in now instead of tonight with Rob. Okay. It's 8:30.
We do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Tony Smithers from the Eureka Humboldt County Visitors Bureau. Talk Shop presented by CDH Painting and by Redec. Tony, so we talked kind of a little bit about the perceptuals. The bypass certainly is going to be an advantage.
Sure.
The fact that people in Sonoma County and maybe even Napa County and Marin County are seeing us as a weekend rather than the vacation because of the time and the references. One of the tricks, obviously, is to build upon where there's opportunity.
Sure. Fish where the fish are biting.
Right. Well, so I'm thinking shoulder seasons. We're kind of on the fringe of that now going into the off season. But is that message something that's received well during the fall when we really don't have special events per se as contrasted to some of the other areas that have huge fall events? Can you compete against those that are that experiential kind of an event with a non-experiential event?
Well, we
or
try.
Or non-event experience?
We try. You know, one of the hats I wear is to administer for the Humboldt Lodging Alliance, and we do a lot of grants for events. And so when people come to us and say, we want to put on an event in July or August, the answer usually is, great idea, hold it after Labor Day. And so as a matter of fact, one of the biggest grants that they've made for several years in a row now is the Humboldt Steelhead Days, which upcoming is not going to be just a two-week fishing derby. It's going to be a full-on three-month promotional event with all kinds of things happening. So basically, it's becoming the off-season promotion for the county. And so we're putting all of our eggs into that basket.
And when is that held?
That's January 1st to March 31st. And there'll be, you know, fishing contests, cash prizes.
Like find a fish? I'm just thinking the salmon runs are all, you know, the winter steelhead runs are there.
That's part of it.
Okay.
So, you know, but
rather than the fall runs.
Yeah, those folks are putting on all kinds of great, you know, there's art, there's education, there's watershed restoration, all kinds of stuff happening.
Well, hopefully there'll be some local marketing on that too, so we're able to participate.
Indeed. So, and that sort of goes to your question, you know, can we compete? That kind of resource, that kind of event, and backing up what we do best. And one of the things Humboldt County does best is fishing and outdoorsman stuff in general. That's how we're going to
get wet real good.
Yeah, we do. let's make a virtue out of it. I mean, come on.
Yeah, it's in looking at and trying to stir up in my own head some weird thoughts about how do you build the economic base in those shoulder seasons, that these other folks, they're fairly common to us, but if they've got a big event that's 5 minutes away, that's a big fun one. The Balloon Festival.
Sure.
Or what's the one they have in the fall? Is it a tomato festival?
Where?
Sonoma County. Oh, berries. It's some kind of a fall.
Agricultural thing.
Yeah, it's like, you know, and it's right there. Well, it's really tough to get folks to go beyond that if you're kind of offering something to the same profile.
Mm-hmm.
It just is tough. You know, have a crab festival at the same time that they're doing a crab festival in San Francisco. Tough sledding, man. Yeah, because of the historical momentum and the inertia.
Right.
So it is interesting, for me at least, to try to fill in some of these areas, just even just theoretically in my head, and try to find out, okay, what would plug in nicely in the early part of November here? Don't know.
Well, one of the things that has been very successful in the past is just to what we used to call the Coastal Christmas promotion. You might remember that. Selling small town, hometown holidays.
The truckers and the tractors and a couple of those types of things.
And
yeah.
The caroling and the gift shopping, you know, fairs and that kind of thing going on, which is kind of this sort of feel-good Americana sort of experience, which it's harder and harder to get in a city. And
sure, the developed cities, absolutely. Yeah,
so that's something which continues to have a lot of interest and works for us. I mean, to hear you know, John Porter talk when he used to run the Eureka Inn, I mean, he kind of invented the whole idea.
Yeah.
And people poo-pooed him, but folks showed up. They wanted to come and experience that.
Yeah, well, you just need more Johns running around.
Yeah.
So as you look at trends, not the perceptual trends, not opportunities like the bypass.
Okay, you're back to dollars and cents, right?
Yeah. What sense do you have? What grade do you give? Of course, you're giving it to yourself, so you're going to be a little bit more generous than some. Teacher Smithers, how would you, are you doing that this fall?
No,
teaching class?
No, they hired a professor.
Oh, real? So they stepped it up.
There's a real professor.
It.
So actually,
hey, that's good.
I went and spoke to her class a couple weeks ago. So
okay, yeah. Cool. What kind of grade do you give? What kind of grade do you give Humboldt County, the North Coast, if you will, over the last 10, 15 years?
Well, there's two ways you can look at it. You know, we often track bed tax collections as one of the metrics, because that
traditional standard measure.
Because that means money in the city coffers and et cetera. So that we can look at. Over the past 10 years, Humboldt County has grown its bed tax collections 71%. 71%.
Now, is that 71% more people?
No, it's more dollars. More dollars. Okay. So we haven't increased our prices 71%, so we know we're getting more people.
So everybody wins on that one.
Yeah.
KINS News and Information Time, it's 8:43. We'll return with more from Tony Smithers.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka. Good morning, KINS. News and Information Time's 8:46. Final couple minutes this morning with Tony Smithers. Tony, before the break, you said hard numbers, dollar, currency, plus 71% in the last 10 years. Hasn't been an awful lot of inflation. I don't know if these are inflation-adjusted figures or not. But, okay. I mean, that sounds like healthy growth, even if it's only 50% because of inflation. Not shabby. Not shabby at all. What other standards do you then reference that against to see, are you ahead of the curve?
Well, what
or
what
behind are, the curve, yeah. Or where are we?
What are our competitors doing? I mean, that's what really hits the bottom line, I think, when you think about opportunities and performance. Who are our competitors would be a good question for you right now, Brian. We tend to look mostly at two main competitors who, you know, really compete for that overnight Bay Area business. One is Mendocino, and the other is Redding. So Shasta and Mendocino counties. They draw a lot of the same profile of visitor that we do. So in that same period where we grew our bed tax collections by 71%, Mendocino grew by 36%, Shasta by 35%. So Mendocino still collects a little more bed tax than we do, but we're catching up with them pretty fast. And certainly in terms of growth, we've outpaced both of them. So we're doing something right.
Does Humboldt compete against Del Norte? Is there partnering? Is it different markets entirely because of 199 bringing the Oregon folks down?
You know, there's a little bit of that, but to tell the truth, and I'll say this to my colleague Jeff up there, they're lucky for us because I think they get a lot of backdrafting off of the marketing that we do of the Redwoods. So when
it plays in the Northwest, they experience it rather than people from Sonoma County blowing through Humboldt to get to Del Norte.
Right. Yeah. Okay. But when someone Googles...
So do their numbers kind of parallel? The increases, do they go up? Do they go down?
Well, their bed tax has grown by 56% in that same period. But another important metric is destination spending. How much money is left in the destination by tourism?
Now that's a tougher figure to come up. That's a real number.
That's a real number.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, you have to sort of take these numbers with a grain of salt. They are produced for us by California Tourism, who use a outfit called Dean Runyon Associates, who have their own formula for. I think they start with a bed tax and extrapolate a lot from there and from other things. So the number I have here is not for the 10 years; it's for a 15-year period. So since 2000 to 2015, California's visitor spending grew by 51%. That's how much tourism spending grew. Yeah, there's inflation. There's all kinds of things in there as well. But Humboldt County's in that same period, 52% growth. So we tracked a little better than the state as a whole. Shasta was 40%. Mendocino was 25%. So again, we're beating the competition.
It'll be interesting to see how the numbers hold post-election cycle, next 3 or 4 years, if this is a build-to-build-to-build trend or if it's one that is subject to pressures from things that have absolutely nothing to do with tourism.
Oh, well, we hope...
Like gas tax often is associated.
Sure,
yeah.
And a lot of it is just plain economy, but...
Just plain old good stuff. Thanks for coming by, Tony.
My pleasure, bye.
I'll see you all tomorrow.